Bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. It was interesting, on the ride over here, God had given me a message for part two that I didn't anticipate. And so this is what we're going to preach. And if you could turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 15. This is not where we're going to go, but as I'm looking at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10 strikes me, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace was not in vain." How often do people say to themselves, "I am not, I am not"? But never say, "I am not." Because this is a saying apart from the grace of God. "I am not. I am what I am by the grace of God." So a believer can never say, "I am not." A believer can only say, "I am." Why? Because he is in Christ. It's very similar when Moses asked Jesus, "Whom shall I send me?" He said, "I am that I am." And then when Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees, and he says, "I am before Abraham was, I am." And we also, we are the body of Christ, and we have the life of God in us. And so we are. And we cannot say that we are not. The reason why Jesus in Matthew 7 will say to some people, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." The reason for that is because their names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life. Sometimes it's easy to be confused, the Lamb's Book of Life with the Book of Life. But my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Everyone's name is in the Book of Life. But my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and so He knows me. You see, we cannot say we are not. How often do we say, "I'm not what I ought to be"? This is what people will frequently say, "I am not what I ought to be. I am not as good. I am not whatever. Or I should be like this." But this is deception of a satanic kind. Because I am what I am by the grace of God. And so anything that I am, you see, I'm not perfect. Okay, welcome to humanity. Alright, but isn't that what I say if I say I'm not what I ought to be? Well, what should you be then? Well, I should be more like this. You mean you should be perfect in that area? Well, welcome to humanity. Right? Welcome to humanity. What is the difference between the saved and the sinner but for the blood of the Lamb? Right? Welcome to humanity. Anyway, if you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to start in verse 27. "For He hath put all things under His feet. But when He saith all things are put under Him, it is manifest that He is accepted which did put all things under Him." In other words, He is not under His own feet. "And when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead?" And this was a false doctrine. "What shall they do that are baptized for the dead if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest should sow not that the body shall be, but bear grain. It may chance of wheat or some of other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of man, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Do you understand? There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last man, Adam, the last Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly, and the second is of the Lord from heaven. Is the earthy, such are they. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such as they also that are heavenly. Such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. He shows a mystery. This is a mystery. And then again, in verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall he be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your sting? And grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is in the law. You see, here's the thing. The Word of God tells us that the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The second man, Adam, is a quickening spirit. As a believer, I have to be careful not to live a soulish life. The soulish life for many believers comes through things like religious righteousness, if you will. The practice of religion, trying to be pleasing to God apart from having God's righteousness imparted to me and resting in the finished work of Christ. When in John 19:30 Jesus said, "It is finished," what was He talking about? He was talking about that which is necessary for righteousness' sake. He was talking for that which would appease God, which would please Him. He was talking about that which would reconcile man to God and God to man. He was talking about something that is a mystery to us. That while we cannot see God, we know He exists. And we cannot have righteousness, yet we know we possess it. How do we know that we possess this? Because we believe the promises of God. That's how we know. The Bible has 7,832 promises of it in it, and every one of them are yea and amen. People will ask, how can you know? Because God promised. That's how I know. God said, "I'm an adopted son." John chapter 1 and verse 12. How do I know that I'm the Son of God? Because I believe on Him. What was the purpose of the Savior? To seek and save that which was lost. Why? So that it would remain lost? No. You see, we have to be careful that we do not live in a soulish life. The first man, Adam, was a living soul. The second man was a quickening spirit. What was born of the flesh was a soul. What was born of the spirit is a quickening spirit. This is why the Word of God says there is a spirit in man. And that spirit in man cries out to God. This is why the Word of God says that which is born of God in 1 John chapter 4 cannot sin. Because it is a spirit in man that cannot sin, but the soul of man can. Because the first man, Adam, was a living soul. And the second man was a quickening spirit. What is the soul? Well, we know that there are five parts to it. There is the mind. There is the volition. There are the emotions. There is the consciousness. And the self-conscious, the self-image. And this is your soul. And so long as I am a breathing human being, I have a soul. But the soul itself is not what is connected to God. Adam had a soul and Adam was lost. Adam fell. But that which is born of God cannot sin. So if Adam was born of God, how could he possibly sin? And it's very simple. It's the spirit of man. It's the deep that calls into the deep. It's the spirit of within a man there is a spirit. And the spirit of man fellowships with the Holy Spirit. Because it is that part of man that the Holy Spirit gives birth to when that man is born again. Do you remember when you were saved? I remember when I accepted Christ. I felt like I woke up and I had never been asleep. Why is that? Because there was something born in me that was not there before. I was born again. One more time. But I could not go back into my mother's womb, says Nicodemus. And Jesus said to him, "Are you a teacher in Israel and yet you do not understand this rudimentary, basic, simple doctrine? That what which is born of the flesh is flesh?" Do you understand something? The spirit is a part of my physical members. The soul, excuse me. The soul is a part of my... It dwells in me. It's physically present in me. It's there. Some scholars believe that it's actually in the bones. I don't know, but it's possible. Perhaps this is why the Word of God says that Jesus' bones would never be broken. I don't know, but it's possible. see, we have to be careful not to live a soulish life. When you hear the word of God, don't hear it in your intellect. When you read the word of God, don't read it in your intellect. Because if you do, you read it in your soul. Mix faith with what you hear. Isn't this what the word of God tells us in Hebrews chapter 4? Mix faith with what you hear. And then it will profit you. Why will it profit you? Because the word there means it will increase you. What will it increase in me? It will increase that which is of God in me. The word of God says to the Galatians that they were foolish. The reason why they were foolish was because they tried to live in their soul. They tried to conform their soul to a righteousness by the law, when the fact of the matter is it could not be done. My soul is not conformed. My soul is transformed by the impartation of life from the Holy Spirit through the human spirit to the human soul. This is how I live as a believer. I mix faith with what I hear and it profits me. What do I mix faith with? I mix faith with the Word of God, but I have to be careful about something. Jesus did not say to do that in Matthew 4:4. Jesus said, "Man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." He did not say Logos word. He said Rhema word. A divine, precise illumination from the Word of God for specific situations in your life. That is what man shall live by. When Satan tempted the Savior, Satan used the Logos. He said, "It is written." He used the written Word to tempt the living Word. He said, "It is written." "It is written" was not the answer. You could spar back and forth with "it is written," and that's what Jesus did with Satan for a season. And then what did He tell him at last? He said, "Get lost." I'm paraphrasing. Funny thing is, that happened a little while earlier. Never live in your soul. Never live in your soul. Live in your spirit. The soul is the part of me that responds to the external. The soul is the part of me that is circumstantial. The soul is the part of me that connects to my flesh. The flesh is the part of me that connects to the world. And the world has Satan as its God. The soulish Christian is the Christian who is easily swayed. As the Spirit-filled Christian, the one that lives in his human spirit, fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, that's the Christian who has the impartation of the life of God. Can a sinner be saved? I hope so, because if a sinner cannot be, then I'm sure not. Show me one person who's saved who is not a sinner. So how do I get saved? Well, didn't Jesus say, "Believe on Him whom He has sent"? It's that simple. Why was the thief on the cross saved? Because at the very last moment, he believed on Him whom He had sent. He said, "Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom." He wasn't living in his soul then. The other thief was living in his soul. But that thief, he was looking for mercy. He said, "Remember me." The man who squandered his life, who wasted it, to the fullest degree, to such a degree that they felt they had no choice but to put this man to death. He said, "Remember me." And what did the Savior say? "Today you will accompany me into paradise." He didn't tell him, "Today you will accompany me into a sepulcher." He said, "Today you will accompany me into paradise." I don't know about you, I've been in a cave and I've seen sepulchers. I wouldn't qualify them as paradise. But he went to paradise. Why? Because he had more to him than just a soul, and a spirit was born in him. Be careful not to live in that which is of the first Adam. Live in that which is of the second. You see, when I live in the first Adam, Satan can take advantage. When I live in the second, Satan has no place. How do I get to the second Adam? Well, didn't Jesus say, when a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, then it bears much fruit? Didn't he say that if a man preserves his life, he loses it, but if he loses his life, he finds it? Aren't we told that we live through the cross in the life of God? We live in the second Adam. I can sow to incorruption, or I can sow to corruption. I can sow in things that cause divisions. But didn't the apostle tell us that the wisdom from below does those things? Cause divisions, schisms? Didn't he say to avoid these mindless things? Grievances and arguments. But the wisdom from above is different, he said. The wisdom from above has the fruit of the Spirit in it. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Isn't the fruit of the Spirit love? You see, I'm always wondering where people are coming from. But not so much why they are thinking what they're thinking. I already know that. They're thinking what they're thinking because they're either thinking with God or they're thinking apart from Him. But in Philippians, we're told that we should have the mind of Christ. So they're either thinking with Him or they're thinking apart from Him. If they're thinking with Him, then they are thinking in the mind of Christ. If they're thinking in the mind of Christ, it is because they possess the living mind of Christ. They are fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, and He is imparting life to them, thoughts to them, words to them. When Paul said, "Put off the old man and put on the new," it was a picture of a coat. It's a picture of a covering. Put on the mind of God. Put on the ways of God. Put on the thoughts of God. Don't worry about things you don't understand. Why? Why do you worry about things you don't understand? What sense does that make? It's like people who worry about the fact that they have no money. You don't have it, why are you worried about it? Why do you worry about what is not yours? Worry about what is. I'm far more interested in the things that God has given me in understanding the things than the things He has not. I'm far more interested in knowing the mind of Christ. You see, there's one thing about the human mind. I don't care how far we go, we'll never understand. That's why earlier I asked you, do you understand mercy? Ask yourself, do you understand mercy? I don't. I don't understand mercy. And I don't understand grace. I don't understand the love of God. I don't understand the ways of God. This is why Paul right here in 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, I show you a mystery. It is a mystery what God is showing. My life is a mystery. Like, doesn't the Word of God say the wind blows where it wills and this is the way it is with the Spirit of God? Our own lives are a mystery to us. How can we understand? So what do? We simply live by faith. That simple. You see, here is where understanding comes from. When I mix faith with what I hear. And it's not because my intellect can give me that understanding. It's because the Spirit of God teaches me. People say, I want to figure things out. Good luck. You can't figure out your own salvation. Good luck. You can't figure out what's going to happen tomorrow. Good luck. All I know is that yesterday we didn't get raptured. But we live in this, guys. Do you understand what I'm saying here? There is a life that is from God, and there is a life that is not. And I can live in either one. But if I'm going to live in the life that is from God, it's going to be done the way God has prescribed. It's not going to be done through my efforts. It's going to be done through the cross. The cross didn't kill the Savior. The cross just killed the shadow. If that were not so, then he would not be able to raise again. Why did he tell Mary, do not put your hands around my leg? It's what she did. She prostrated herself and she wrapped her arms around his leg. And he told her, don't do that because I have not yet ascended. Because at that point, he was not in a physical body, but a soul body. You see, this is something that we have to understand, that we have this soul and we have this spirit, and this is where the difference is in us. That if I live simply in the soul, apart from the spirit, then I really have just a natural life. But the only way to live in the Spirit of God is through Christ's cross. That's it right there. If I want to live any other way, I'm not going to have the life of God. I like what you said earlier about trusting God. That is key. If I can't learn to trust Him for all the aspects of my life, then I won't have all the aspects of my life. I will have that which my soul can produce, but not what the Spirit has given. And there are people who go through their entire lives like that. They live in what their soul can produce, but not in what the Spirit has given. Why do I have faith in God? Because the Spirit testifies. Why do I trust the promises of God? Because the Spirit testifies. Why do I know that I am saved? Because the Spirit testifies to the promises of God. It's that simple. It's very simple. God laid it all out. It's very simple. Now, where do I get in trouble if I love the scriptures? Why can I still get in trouble? Because I don't live in the Spirit. You see, there was a reason why the Holy Spirit was given. Why was the Holy Spirit given? To speak to me, to teach me. In John 16, the Word of God says that He teaches me, that He guides me in truth. That's why the Holy Spirit was given. Jesus said, "It's better for you that I go away, because I will send you another of the same type." So He sends the Spirit. So I have to live a life by the Spirit, not by the letters in the book. Now, does that mean that the book is not valuable? No, the book is all valuable. But the letter kills where the Spirit gives life. And so I have to learn how to live in the Spirit as I live in the letter. The letter apart from the Spirit is not the Word. That would be like Christ coming down, but the Holy Spirit never descending upon Him. The ministry of the Savior did not start until the Holy Spirit descended. To have the letter of the Word apart from the Spirit is meaningless. Satan has that. But he doesn't have the Spirit. And so I live in the Holy Spirit as He illuminates the Word to my heart. The Word of God is a language. But knowing a language does not mean having understanding. It's the language that the Holy Spirit speaks. And so He speaks to me through the Word of God. But apart from Him, I have no understanding. Apart from that rhema, the Logos makes no sense. And so, when the Word of God is a sword, that means that it can also be dangerous. So I have to use it well. This is why training is important. You get these Lone Ranger Christians who never get trained. What does the Word of God say about them? They're blown about by every wind of doctrine. But you get a believer who plants himself under the pastor teacher that God has called him to, who gets properly trained in the Word of God, who knows how to have a spirit life, then you've got a person who's quite capable in the kingdom. Why did Jesus spend that time with 12? Because He was training them. Why does the Bible tell us that Jesus taught Paul on the backside of the desert for 3 years? Because He was training him. Be trained not just in the letter, but in the Spirit. Learn how to hear from Him, because that's where your life comes from. I'll tell you this much though, when there is not a cross in the life, Jesus is silent in that life. This is why He said, "If any man would be my disciple, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me." Because when the Holy Spirit speaks, it's only because I have a cross in my life. You see, the incorruptible is what inherits heaven, not the corruptible. So the part of God that is in me speaks to that which is born of God.
the second Adam, not the first.
Now you're right. Don't add to the Bible. Don't take away either.
Right?
Don't take away either. Because the Word of God is what it is. And it says what it means. You see, how do I get to know the Savior? I get to know Him through the full counsel. I get to know Him through the body of Christ. I get to know His heart and His mind. How many of you guys have ever heard or read something Abraham Lincoln wrote or said? Do you know Abraham Lincoln? But you read what he wrote. Do you know Abraham Lincoln? You see, the only way to get to know God is through His Spirit. Because that's what was sent to the earth of God, was His Spirit. That's what teaches me, is the Spirit. So if I try to learn in the intellect of my soul, I learn nothing. But if I let the Holy Spirit teach me, then I learn everything. It's that simple. Amen.